again. Welcome to the Weekly BJ Podcast, starring DJ BJ, a.k.a. Arabian Knight, a.k.a. the Sultan of Sweat. He's 6'2", 225, coming straight out of Milwaukee. And now he's living the dream in Malibu, answering your fitness questions. That's right, even the stupid ones. Gonna melt your face off.
Gonna melt your face off. Gonna melt your fucking face off. Gonna melt your face off. Gonna melt your fucking face off.
Yo, BJ Gador with the Weekly BJ Podcast, and today's episode is entitled Dealing with Haters at the Gym. It's a question from a listener, Brendan 20 from Pittsburgh. He's dealing with a lot of hate from some meat sticks at the gym, trying to figure out how to manage that. I've got a 6-step blueprint so you can shake them haters off at the gym today, so stay tuned for that. I wanted to first take a voice message from True Fitness 617, a follow-up message to my latest podcast, Don't Sell Your Soul. Here it is.
What's happening, BJ, man? It's True Fitness 617. I just finished wrapping up that podcast you had about selling your soul and whatnot, man, and it was really dope. I got about 5 years in the game with the fitness industry, I opened a gym, I ran it, I made some money, I lost a lot of money, I actually ended up having to close it, because things tanked, and I just know how the fitness industry gets. Just everything is trendy, everything is right here, right now, all flash, all flash, no substance, and it's tough, man. But I don't knock you for making the decision that you made, because you're still doing good. You got to find a balance. It's like, would you rather say, I have $10 million and I lost all integrity, or I have a $500,000 or a million, or even a couple million dollars, and I can still feed my family with that. So, that's what it comes down to, man. It's not, you got to do what works that you can sleep at night. That's all.
Man, True Fitness 617, just enlightening us on this beautiful day with that message. In 60 seconds, he pretty much did a better version of explaining what it took me like 30 minutes plus to do in that actual whole episode of the podcast. So credit to him, man, preaching the gospel on this fine morning, afternoon, evening, whenever you're listening. Don't sell your soul. Success is not money. Success is not praise from others. Success is not something you can, put a number on. It is basically happiness. And what makes you happy? That is success. For some people, it does require a lot of money. For others, it requires very little. And there's everything in between. So if you understand that success equals happiness, and you build a life for yourself that makes you happy, and in most cases, by the way, a life that makes one happy tends to also add value to the lives of others, because that's enriching to us, no matter how introverted or antisocial you are, or I am, man, I take great joy in hearing, it's oxygen to me when I hear someone like Chris or True Fitness 617 spit fire like that, and for the message that I shared to resonate, that breathes life into my soul, more than anything I could do for myself, by the way. So I appreciate you for listening, man. You're at the 5-year mark, which is something special in fitness, because most people are already done. Most people are done in the first couple of years, usually at the 5-year mark, total career change. So now you're in this kind of unsettling territory where you've outlasted most of your peers, but then it's like the acceptance of the fact, holy shit, this is a fucking grind. Like, how far do I want to take this? How am I going to make my own mark or forge my own path in this space? It's tough, man, and I will tell you, if you can get past the 10-year mark, A, there's going to be so many fewer people left in this space. You know, the whole keep showing up, eventually the last person in the room, last man standing mentality. But you're also going to gain in the next 5 years the type of experience and wisdom with which by, if you can stay in the game or stay relevant year 10 past, things start to get a little bit more fun because you really know what you're doing. You really know how to be smart about what you do for every effort or rep you put into your business. And you also have enough of a following compared to where you started where, you know, for every effort, there's a bigger return. When people are interested in what you're doing, you've got, especially if you've been having people do stuff or follow your stuff for 5+ years at this point, 10+ years at that point. I mean, like, the buy-in is pretty crucial, right? You've got your disciples. So I wish for you the ability to get through the next five because at that 10-year mark, you know, that's where it becomes elite level situations, right? I mean, I might not like agree with everything I see on people that have, you know, been in the game 10+ years, but they automatically receive my respect and I know I can learn from them in some way because this space is more hostile than space itself to life. So stay with it, man. Don't quit. Keep pushing, keep making a change. And those mistakes you've made, I've made more. And it's gotten me where I am today because I kept pushing. Be consistent. And also check out the past episode, How to Make Money in Fitness. If you haven't already, that's a great way just to anyone who's new or still in the game, how to navigate the ever-changing fitness space and how to make a living in it so you can help people and kind of build a lifestyle of your dreams to the best of your ability. Up next, we got the voice message from Brendan 20 from Pittsburgh on dealing with haters and meatheads at the gym. Here we go.
Hi, BJ. My name is Brendan, 20 years old. I'm from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and I'm a college student. I've been at this fitness thing for about 2 years, and I usually train alone. It's just how I've gotten my results. It's what works for me. And I have this roommate that gives me a hard time because I don't do the big three, like, barbell lifts, and I don't push it super heavy every time I train. So my question is for you is for all any of us like young guys out there that might be 20 or above, how do we navigate through this fitness stuff without acting like a meathead? And how do we deal with the haters out there that might give us a hard time because we don't do it the traditional way? Thank you.
Brendan, thank you so much for the question, man. And I'm pissed because nobody fucks with my people. I'm going to give you 6 steps to deal with those mouth-breathing meatheads. And I think you'll walk away from listening to this podcast with a whole new mindset about this, ready to fucking attack the next 10 to 20 years of your life. That's my goal in this podcast, man. Thank you for the message. And again, you know, I like to take care of my people. You know, there's no one in fitness that I know of that, you know, is willing to make a whole podcast episode for an individual at a time or I'm doing fucking karaoke now. I take requests and on Instagram, I literally sing to people and dedicate it to them. So I do want you to guys to know, like, I don't just say it. I really care a shit ton about you. And I'm doing this mainly because I've been seeing it's having impact and that breathes life into my soul. Because my motivation to make fitness content in general these days is low to quite low. Because I've been doing it for so long, 15+ years, and on a lot of things it's like version 10.0. But it's new to me to interact with my people at this level of depth and of personalization. So that's actually been breathing life into my soul, and I thank you for that. Taking the time to message me on Anchor and share what's going on with you and how I can help, man, it means the world to me. And by the way, you're going to want to jump on Anchor because that is where all the music I play in the episode, you can hear, first of all. And there was a song before I started recording this section of the episode by Life Jennings, one of the great R&B guys no one talks about, called Haters. Just adds a lot of themes and elements to the podcast. I think you'll enjoy the best listening experience. Plus, we've got the 100th episode coming up this week. And it's going to be my top 100 workout songs of all time. Many of you, I think, follow me just for the workout music, which is cool. Look, I'm cool with whatever reason you follow me for. I think it's like into thirds, really. Like people, a third of you watch for entertainment, a third of you follow for the fitness content, a third of you follow because I think you might be into me sexually. I don't know. Or maybe there's some mixtures there. Look, I'll take all of it at this point. I'll take it all. I'm 37. You know, the clock is ticking. So I'll take it all and I appreciate it all. But we have the 100 top 100 workout songs coming up. I'm going to be playing, obviously not all 100 songs, but like highlights of each kind of 10 song segments as I build out that list. So, you know, you're going to want to hear it on that. We've got a lot of listeners to this podcast at this point. It's growing fast. And I think only like 60 to 100 of you actually listen to me and get on fucking Anchor. It's a free app for Apple and Android devices. You can send me voice messages. You can hear the music. It's the best listening experience. And it's the only way you want to listen to the upcoming episode, the 100th episode of the Weekly BJ Podcast, Top 100 Workout Song. So I'm not affiliated with anybody except myself and my wife at this point. And if I was, I would tell you. So I get nothing for saying that. It just is the best listening experience. And some of you have messaged me and said, you're right, BJ, thank you for that. But many of you just don't fucking listen. It takes forever. So listen to me and do it. So Brandon, 20 years old. Shit. Man, I was 20. When I was 20, I was... sorry, I'm drinking my iced coffee. Getting some energy for Brandon because I'm bringing the heat today. You got me. This is a topic I'm very passionate about because I've dealt with it personally. I know many of you have. Dealing with, you know, fucking assholes at the gym. Just, they won't leave you alone. They talk shit. They give you looks. They get in your fucking way. You're trying to get this workout done and they're just... They're there to fucking socialize. Drives me fucking crazy. So, lots of F-bombs coming today, if you haven't noticed. But I'm 20. I'm developing like my first approach to fitness at Amherst College around that time. It's like just about to be I think I just finished my senior season in football. I had my fourth knee surgery. I was, first time in my life, I could actually start pursuing fitness to like get lean and look good. And I did. I lost like 50 pounds. Quickly, I was like 275 my senior year in football and with a good amount of muscle mass at that weight too. So, you know, one of the things people overlook is like linemen can lose weight like the fastest because they actually have muscle mass and pretty high metabolisms, even though like there's body fat there. Just being that size, you've got a pretty high metabolism. And I was eating like 8 meals a day just to stay at that weight. So I just basically cut out a couple meals a day. And I got like an incredible shape. And then professors and students were asking me for programs. And eventually the demand was so high that I had to start charging people. Then I saw my first $100 program at around 20 to 21, my senior year at Amherst College. And that and the rest is fucking history. Now I do what I do. And now I'm doing this podcast with you, Brendan. So you've got an amazing life ahead of you, man. And the benefit of listening to someone like me who's been there, who's been that fucking idiot meathead who pushed himself to the limit and hurt himself and cost his body in a way that I could never get back, that I've had to now permanently modify the way I do things, but you can learn and not make the same mistakes and be ahead of the learning curve. That's the whole point of this shit, right? Each generation, we pass the lessons down so you can do it better, faster, more efficiently, more effectively, and then you do the same for the generation under you when I'm, you know, clapping in a pool and doing water aerobics at the tender age of 90, if I can still make it that long. But this is something that you deal with. And by the way, inside and outside of fitness, this is the general approach to dealing with haters and haters as a whole, but we'll get specific to fitness. 6 steps to giving 0 fucks what others think in the gym and frankly outside of the gym. Number 1, nobody who matters actually cares what you're doing in the gym. People are more worried about themselves than what you're actually doing in there. Now, you might, if you're self-conscious, because you're doing things that nobody else is doing, you will stand out in the gym. Like when I used to train at the gym, because like, by the way, like the stuff that I was doing in like 2005, and when I share some of that, like that style of the metabolic conditioning, the stuff that I've created, when I still share that today in 2019, it's new to most people. That shit's new to most people. The people that were following me then, they were training in the fucking future because we're just ahead of our time with this shit. All the greats are, by the way. We set the trends. We don't fucking wait for them. We get ahead of the trends and we set them. We trailblaze. You're that type of dude if you're listening to this podcast. You're that type of girl or person if you're listening to this podcast. You're not a mouth breather. You have critical thinking ability. All right? But even if they notice you and see you, like, at the end of the day, that people really care about themselves. Like, this is one of the biggest lessons that I've learned is that, you know, early on in my fitness career, I was like trying to impress people and how much muscle I had and how shredded I could get and any cool physical, like I try to show the Superman push-up, which, by the way, I can still do, but then I realized like, no one can do this. So it's just showing off. There's no added value to me showing an exercise that no one who's following me can do. Oh, that's motivating. Well, I think to some people it is, but not the people I'm trying to attract. I want to go deep with people. I want to be able to actually impact your life and more than just like a like or a share, because I can show something weird or cool. And I'll do ridiculous shit and hear stuff there and there. I'd rather, by the way, entertain you through humiliating myself, like the karaoke and other things that I do, than like try to impress you with my physical abilities. Because, you know, frankly, I know there's no value to you for that. So when I share, when I create something, I do it so most people watching can do it in some fashion. All right? Because people are less impressed by your own accomplishments and more impressed by the value you add to their lives. Like, you want to make a change in this world, you want to make a name for yourself in your space, add value to the lives of others. Because, yes, you might get a couple attaboys or attagirls when you do something impressive, and that might motivate you to keep doing it, but you won't find longevity in this space if you're trying to just impress people with your abilities. Because at the end of the day, they're going to find someone like me that actually gives them value and tries to make it more about them than about me. And sure, you know, some of you might disagree. I'm sure we have people hate listening, hate watching. I know that for a fact. Like, oh, it's all about him. Well, you know, that's your perspective. I think others would disagree based on how I approach my content these days. Insecure people are just going to feel a type of way when they see someone challenging the norm. Most people don't like change. They don't like to be shown a different way because it's basically an indication that they're not doing things to the best of their ability, and they're lazy about it. I've been here there before too. Like, you know, you get stuck in what you're doing and like, this is what works for me. But like, if you're doing the same fucking workout you did 5, 10, 15 plus years ago, you know, there's been a lack of growth and evolution to what you're doing. I'm not saying that there aren't some staples or basics that have remained, but life is an evolution. This is all about growth. And especially because the beauty of fitness is that you can actually keep getting better as you get older. You just get smarter and you know the moves that work best for your body, and you can figure out how little to do to get the results you're looking for, so it doesn't take away from other aspects of your life. Like all the trial and error from my 20s and the kind of the fine tuning in my early to mid 30s has put me in a position now where like I am seen from the mountaintop now in fitness. And now I'm trying to tackle other obstacles in my life or other things that I may have neglected along the way because I was so laser focused on fitness. But, you know, and not that I'm not trying to still learn about fitness and evolve myself, etc. I'm always working on refining and making my shit better. But I can see from the mountaintop now, and I have this perspective that I didn't have when I was your age. And I wish someone could have shared this with me then because it could have saved me some time. But look, man, that's what it's all about. But you're making them insecure. Like, why is he such a fucking rebel? Why does he have to beat to his own drum? Like, just bench press, squat, and deadlift. If you want big legs, just squat. I see that all the fucking time. Like, I'll share, by the way, a split squat, a type of squat, in some fucking mouth-breathing asshole with most likely no legs says, don't be a pussy, just squat. And I'm like, okay, get back to me in 5 to 10 years with how that's going for you. And also, like, look, the proof is in the fucking pudding. You've seen pictures of the way my legs used to look, all right? I built these with single leg movements, split squats, lunges, step ups, single leg hip thrusts. I've talked about this before in other episodes. But if I would have stayed caught up in what people thought about me and having to just back squat and deadlift and bench press because that's what powerlifters do and that's what Arnold did, I would not be where I am today. Because I was one of the few who saw the light early and wanted to take the path less traveled. Now, all those other motherfuckers are hurt. And frankly, they're doing things everybody else is doing anyway. So like, how do you even stand out and break through the noise? I'm not different just to be different. It just so happens that I'm so different than the way others train that it does stand out. And it fucking works. And it's a more optimal, it's a better approach for the long haul. Okay? And with the insecurity, these fucking meatheads you're dealing with, by the way, they want to hold you back. They don't want you to advance or get better because selfishly, they want to keep you with where they are. And that's tough. And there are certainly people in my life I've had to kick to the side along the way because their negativity and their total absolute desire to be an anchor to my progress made it necessary for me to just fucking get rid of them in my life. Like, you don't want me to get better? You want me to fucking develop a new way of doing this that's better? That costs your body less? Go fuck yourself. That's how you have to approach this, Brendan. Mouth breathers and misery love company. What's funny too is I actually am kind of a mouth breather because I have a very small nasal passageways. I've always had trouble breathing through my nose. And it's not so bad that I should get surgery, but it's bad enough that like it just affects me where, you know, I have to breathe more through my mouth than normal. So technically I am a mouth breather, but I would say like high-end mouth breather, highly functioning mouth breather. So, I mean, that first step, nobody who matters actually cares. Because if they matter, they don't give a shit really what you're doing because they're more worried about what they're doing. And if you're getting success and you enjoy it, they should be happy for you. They shouldn't be talking shit. So that's number one. Number two, innovation trumps tradition. And what I really meant to say there is sometimes tradition can fuck you in the ass. I'm going to give some examples here. And this is where I first talked about, like, this is future training. It's ahead of its time. The stuff I'm showing you now is what people will be doing in the future. All right? And it's lo and behold, Lady Cleo, my little Lady Cleo moment, now everybody is kind of doing this style of training because it's accessible, it's convenient, it makes sense. But this was the shit I was showing back in 2005. All right? Mind you, before there was YouTube, before there was Instagram. So eventually it'll become, if not the norm, more commonplace. And again, who gives a fuck what everybody else is doing? If it works for you and you feel good and you're advancing in life, hold on to it at all cost. So what tradition do we have? I can't speak for all countries. I can speak to the American experience. You get married, what do you got to do? You got to put in a big fucking wedding. Spend thousands of dollars that usually when you're young, you don't have. So basically you start your marriage in debt. So you can put on a show for other people. Now, I don't mean to offend anyone that does this, okay? It just so happens that when my wife and I got married, we had a lot of dynamics going on there. First of all, like I've got, there's dysfunction on both sides of the family. I'll let my wife speak for herself. Mainly in my family, total dysfunction. There's cultural rifts. There's issues there. My parents are divorced. There's probably what some might call an intense hatred for one another and a volatility that I don't know what's going to happen at any fucking moment when they're together in the same room. And beyond the fact they wouldn't have the money to really come out there. So, but if we asked, they would, and they would charge it. They'd put themselves in the debt to come to our marriage in an island. We want to get married in an island, somewhere special like that. We ended up getting married in Jamaica at Sandals. But we also didn't have the money to bring them over at the time. We were just still getting started and, you know, and I didn't want to fucking get into debt over it. And it was frankly our day. It was our marriage. We both spent our whole fucking lives like just trying to get the fuck out of it, out of there and like build a life for ourselves that was drama free and fun. And so we just went to fucking Jamaica and got married at a Sandals. And our witness was the photographer, the Jamaican photographer who took our photos. And that was it. And yes, was our family offended initially? Sure. Did they get over it? I think so. And we didn't have all that debt. If we went the traditional route, we might still be paying off some of that debt from that marriage. You know what I'm saying? Like, so that's an example where tradition can get you fucked. You do what makes sense for you. I'm just saying, like, there's an example. This one might resonate even more, especially for the guys listening. Masturbation used to be one of the biggest faux pas. Like, it was vilified. Intense shame and guilt over doing it, especially for women, which is fucking insanely misogynistic. They used to say you'd go blind or your hands would get hairy if you masturbated. But like we just know this, it's just, you know, it's safe, it's healthy, it relieves tension. You know, like speaking as a guy with very high testosterone levels, like keeps me sane. I don't want to be walking around like that with baby batter on the brain. I'm active, I'm lean, I have muscle, and I have a really high sex drive. So it helps me manage that. It also, by the way, from a performance standpoint, it helps you last longer. You know, it takes pressure off my wife. Like, I can't, I could go fucking 3 to 5 times a day. Like, that's not fair to your partner. So it's, you know, it's just one of those things. Like, there was a time where no one did that. Can you imagine the fucking tension? Can you imagine, like, everybody's just walking around with a fucking loaded gun. I mean, high times. Very dangerous times. You could go blind, apparently, if you masturbated. And, you know, beyond the fact, too, like, how do you know what you want? I'm not trying to give sex advice here, but that being said, I've been sexually active prolifically since I met my wife. We're going on 18 years now. So I've been prolific. I'm like that, you know, chicken that lays one egg a day. So speaking to that, you know, how do you know what you want from your partner if you don't really know what you want from yourself? There's lots, again, this is not a sex podcast. I'm not Dr. Ruth. And one thing to say, like, how great my wife is, she doesn't listen to the podcast, so don't tell her I told you this. She's going to get pissed. She gifted me a fleshlight last year for my birthday. Basically, what a fleshlight is, it looks like a flashlight, and it mimics a vagina in feel and look. And let me just put it this way. Total fucking game changer. For years, okay, I took my fucking bare hands with calluses, years of calluses, and I'd put that on my soft skin dick, and I would just desensitize it. I just destroy my dick with my hand. I'd shred up my dick in my hand. But now it's like, now my dick is treated like it is a king with this fleshlight. It was total fucking game changer. There's actually a shower mount. Some of you are like, man, this motherfucker has gone off the rail. But look, if I went the traditional route, my dick would have like 2 years left before like there were no nerves left. If I still use my disgusting, calloused hand on my poor, sensitive, soft skin dick. So we make advancements, and my wife really is the real MVP gifting that to me. If Christmas is coming up, you know, birthday, like, I would recommend this if you're a guy. Anyway, and I haven't used my hand since. I won't even do it because I just realized how terrible it was for all those years. So Brendan, did you know you were going to get masturbation tips? You just did. Like, this is still prime time. And I should mention this. Well, I'm going to lose all credibility. I once masturbated 8 times in a single day in my teens. And the way it happened was, it was like, I think it was during one of the breaks, holiday breaks or something. And it was going to be a staycation. So bored as fuck. I was alone in the house and I woke up early enough in the day, you know, rubbed one out to start the day. And I'm like, oh, it's like not even 7:30 a.m. yet. I don't really have anything else to do. Let me see how many times I can do this. By the end, by like number 8, I was basically just spitting out bubbles. But I did it. And then people say, like, you know, I feel better than ever in some ways as I've gotten older. I'm 37 now. But I will say, like, I couldn't do that again at 37. Like, that was those 8 time and 1 day masturbation days are well behind me. Brendan, you might still have one or two of those left in you. I think we all at some point should just see how far we can take that and let that be the bar. And that's up to you. There was a point, okay, here's some other crazy traditions that not too long ago we used, okay? So again, like, yeah, just because they used to do it doesn't mean we should continue to do it, especially if there's a better way. And if there's at least a different way, it's not bad if someone chooses a different way. But so the whirling chair was part of a mid-19th century movement away from practices of chaining and locking the mentally ill in the dark, unsanitary cells toward more humane, at least considered to be so at the time, methods of psychiatric treatment. So other things they used to do were like ice water showers or baths, purgatives or laxatives, insulin coma therapy, even frontal lobotomy. They would take out your fucking personality, all right? But a whirling chair is exactly what it sounds like. It was a chair modified with a spring and lever system used to spin patients until they passed out. The belief was that all that spinning would cure conditions such as schizophrenia and other mental illnesses by shuffling the contents out of your brain. So we're just going to spin the sickness out of your head. That was an actual medical practice. Not too long ago. Luckily, we found a better way. If you weren't fortunate enough to suffer from syphilis before penicillin hit the scene in the 1940s, your doctor would probably treat your STD with mercury, prescribing you a mercurial ointment, pill, or potion to cure the problem. However, mercurials introduce a whole new set of problems, including loss of teeth, damage to the organs, often liver and kidney, and the central nervous system, and the biggest problematic side effect was death. We used to treat with mercury, okay? So that was what one might call a traditional approach. There's just some examples of like, okay, sometimes tradition can get you fucked because there's a reason we live in 2019 and not fucking 1930 or 1890. We've advanced as a society. So if you're gonna let nostalgia or tradition hold you back, that's your call. That's your choice, but it's not mine. I'm gonna like get better with the times. I'm gonna use all the information available to me today to make the most well-informed decisions, and that might change in the next 5 to 10 years because I'm willing to evolve with the process. Those that aren't, you don't have time for those motherfuckers. So that's number two. Innovation trumps tradition. Sometimes tradition can fuck you in the ass. That was like A and B right there, 2A, 2B. Number three, put on your motherfucking blinders. I've talked about this before. My entire approach to training is man in the mirror. One man in the mirror. Nothing else matters. Focus on you. Get a little bit better today. Don't let anything around you distract from the purpose of that day. Whether it's in the gym, at your job, with your family, laser focus. Do not compare yourself to others and get lost in that bullshit. You're just trying to get a little bit better today. 1% better today means a hell of a lot better 100 days from now. And that adds up like over a decade, a lifetime. Like you can do some serious shit in this life if you don't get distracted by the comparison game or what others think about you. Focus on you. Everything else is noise. Now, I'm a meathead, but I'm a sophisticated meathead. Like I have just fucking started an apparel company called Sleeves Sold Separately because for years, people have joked, like, does this guy actually have sleeves? Does he wear a shirt? You know, his shorts are so short now. Are they getting shorter by the day? You know, do you think I give a shit? I mean, I'm capable of wearing little to no clothing and still having a brain. So I'm a sophisticated meathead. And a sophisticated meathead doesn't have time for the petty concerns of the fitness plebeians. That might sound elitist, but I'm sorry. Like, in this space, there are people that are at an elite level, and there are people that, and there's everyone else that is just following the trends or doing what Arnold did. Maria, did I? I love Arnold, but like, I mean, I think he'd admit he made some mistakes along the way. All right, he's been very open about the drug use and everything else, and you know, I'm sure. Like, Arnold, looking at Arnold's build, by the way, like, this is what's like, I wish some of the greats had access to this knowledge. He used to have to squat, you know, he back squat, and he was tall and long, 6'2", he had long femurs, long thigh bones. So really, the worst movement he could have really done for his physique was probably a back squat, but he would do it, and he had to do it by putting his heels on wooden planks because he didn't have the mobility because he was so tall to get depth. And you could just tell, like, it just took so much out of him. Like, if Arnold was on the split squat game, like, I know he did lunges, but, like, if he had, like, split squats, Bulgarian split squats in his routine, he'd get a better mind-muscle connection. His back and knees would have been better. Like, I just can't imagine what he could have done with those movements. But he just did what they knew at the time and what they thought was best. And you would think, oh, what feels that champion mindset of, like, what feels like absolutely the most horrible to your body must provide the best result or must separate you from the other people that aren't willing to go there. But what people miss in that is when you get caught into the tool or the exercise, you lose the fact that you can find something similar that's safer for your body that can create that same level of pain at a local muscular level. Like, people think the routines that I do are for pussies, whatever else. A lot of homophobic, misogynistic claims I see sometimes from people that don't like what I do, whatever else. But like, you want to fucking come and try it, like, to go through the pain that I go through in these workouts, like my Gorilla Corn Gain style, like a 3-minute set. You want to fucking get into that with me? Yeah, I'm just choosing a safe movement so like I don't destroy my joints, but like at the level of my muscles and my connective tissues, like I'm feeling a type of attention and connection and level of burn that like no one can even get to it with movements that are unsafe, because technical failure will happen before you can ever feel that type of failure at the level of the muscle. So I'm actually able to create the most painful environment in a safer way, if that makes sense, through the innovation, because I've tried it all. So just because it doesn't hurt my knee or shoulder doesn't make me a pussy. All right. I just, on the other side, I could say like, you're a fucking idiot if you do things that cause you more pain just because everybody else around you does it, or it was what was done before. I'm just going to fucking find a better way. Fuck. And with the blinders, by the way, three key things: headphones and hoodies and resting murder face. When I used to go to the gym, you know, that I would have the hoodie up, I'd have the headphones, I'd be like fucking the Terminator, and people would still fucking bother me, but not to the degree that it would if I was like, you know, walking around smiling, you know, talking to people, looking accessible. Resting murder face is like the new resting bitch face. I guess you could call it resting dick face, resting prick face. But, you know, I'm on a mission. I'm trying to get in and out. I don't give a fuck about your day or what's going on. I'm not here to answer your questions. And by the way, this is part of how I knew that I just had to eventually get my own permanent space at home to just not have to deal with stuff. So that's three. Put on your motherfucking blinders. Four, have a vision for who you want to be in 5 to 10+ years. Most people are all about instant gratification. We're the Instagram age. Insta, Insta, Insta. And very few people, especially young people, are willing to go after delayed gratification. To invest in 5 to 10+ years from now. To do today what can put you in a good position 5 to 10+ years from now. Everybody's thinking right in the moment and what they need now or within the next couple of hours. That's what most meatheads do, right? Thinking long-term when everyone else is thinking short-term. That's how you have success inside and outside of fitness. Building something great, whether it be your body, your business, that will take time and it requires critical thinking. Critical thinking is what separates, in my opinion, the good from the bad within the fitness space. Most people that don't have a lot going on between the ears, they want you to tell them this exercise is bad, this exercise is good, this diet is good, this diet is bad. They want to think black, white. They don't have the ability. Not only can they not see gray, but they can't see any other fucking colors and don't want to, because they love the simplicity of just having to pick a side. But people listening to this podcast aren't like that. Again, like I just, look, I haven't done a lot of great things in my life, but one thing I've done a really good job of, I've attracted a lot of fucking smart and funny people. And I can tell in the comments, you guys make me laugh on a regular basis. We're operating on the same wavelength here. So, you know, I remember recently on social media, I got these new glasses, all right? They're called from Pit Viper. They're actually really fucking cool. Like one, it's like a purple pair of glasses. Looks like in some ways what Bret the Hitman Hart wore back in the day. The best there is, the best there was, the best there ever will be. I mean, I bought into that hardcore. I had the fucking wrestling dummy. I had Ultimate Warrior, Hulk Hogan, Macho Man Randy Savage, Bret the Hitman Hart. I would fucking, my friends would come over. We'd get like a fake ass ring we'd make out of sofa cushions. We'd use the buddies and we'd fucking just throw down. And I would just fucking go crazy. But anyway, I'm wearing these glasses because, you know, there's a nostalgia to it. They're kind of back in style now. Retro, a lot of what was really popular in the 90s in terms of fashion and other things, it's now like fucking back. So it is about timing things. And so I wore these glasses and it's like, you're only wearing those because they're in right now. Would you have worn those 10 years ago? And my response was pretty simple to this guy. There are a lot of things I wouldn't have done 10 years ago. And of course, like, he had no response to that, because what do you say to that? Yeah, they weren't fucking the right choice 10 years ago, but they are fucking today. And say, oh, you're just trending. No, okay. This is just what happens in life, okay? There was a time where bell bottoms were popular. There was a time when hammer pants were in, okay? And sometimes we notice like, oh, that was not, that's just, that was for that time. Other things are timeless because they come back into style. And it's just so funny how like this guy will refuse to wear a pair of glasses that actually might look good on him because he's worried about the fact that people might think he's a poser or like, you know, if I wouldn't have worn it 10 years ago, I don't want to do it now. Well, you know, if we went off of that, you know, don't masturbate because you'll go blind. And if you ever get syphilis, just put some mercury all over your body because that's kind of what used to be done for those things. Okay. I'm also, and I've mentioned this before in other outlets, I'm after the George Clooney effect. When you see George Clooney, like he was a guest star on Roseanne, like in the 90s, that's not saying he was bad looking or anything else like that, but you look at the way he used to look and how he was, his aura then to now, like that motherfucker has aged like a fine wine. That's the game I want to play. I want to peak as late in my life as possible. And then I want to die the next day. Okay? Like, I want to peak when I'm fucking 105. And if I can just maintain my muscle mass and not, you know, get too fat, the way I look now is going to look even better every year I add on to it, by the way. And because of the way I train and I really just, like, create a very low cost to my body, God forbid anything happens, but, you know, I should be able to do this stuff for a very long time. And I've got the discipline and consistency in place. So my unicorn status is just going to go up every fucking year. I'm going to fucking George Clooney this shit. That's what you want to do, Brendan. I know you're 20. It's like, it's hard to even have this perspective now, but like, can you imagine like looking twice as good and being twice as accomplished and confident in yourself or even more 20 years from now when you're 40? Like, people are over the hill at 40, apparently. That's like that we celebrate in this fucking culture. You're over the hill. Like, if you are smart about the way you train, about your career, by the time you're 40, like, you'll feel like you're just getting fucking started. Or, like, I'm rounding 40 at this point. I'm approaching it. And I'm just starting to really know how to run my business. I finally know who the fuck I am. And I'm finally truly being myself. It's, like, starting to get fucking fun right now because of all the fucking work I did when I starting around that age of 20 and not worrying what others thought about me and forging my own path and choosing the path least traveled. Now I'm the one fucking giving advice. And I used to get annoyed when people ask me questions. It's like, wait, you motherfucker, you forgot. Like, that's what the whole point of this was, that people value your opinion enough that they would ask you that question. So I now, instead of being annoyed by all the questions, even though a lot of them are the same, now I realize, oh, that's the greatest fucking honor anyone can give you. They can ask you a question about something they feel like you are an expert on. And I thank you guys for that. And I apologize for not having that perspective and being annoyed by it like some fucking asshole, when that was really what I was hoping to achieve all along, is that people give a fuck what I have to think, say or think about something. And even when you might disagree with me or not agree with 100% of what I say, you know, we're all on the same team fighting for the same thing, which is, you know, the best available options out there inside and outside of the fitness, right? So growth and evolution are part of the game. You've got to have a vision for yourself on who you want to be, what you want to look like, what you want to project, whatever. 5 to 10+ years from now, I'm always thinking about how to stay ahead of the game on that in all things. And that's how you stay relevant, and that's how you continue to set the trends instead of responding to them. Or at least get ahead of the trends or ahead of the curve. I guess it's only 5. I said 6, but that was my error. Number 5. Arguably the most important, Brendan. Pay attention. Build your own home gym. Total fucking game changer. No more stares from strangers. No more competing for space or equipment. No more traveling to and from the gym. I have had a home gym option in some form or fashion for the last decade, and it's probably guaranteed at least one additional workout I got in each week that I would not have otherwise because of something coming up. Snow, lack of, it's impossible to train in dark for me, so like, you know, things get too late, I might have missed it, but training at home makes it easy. I just can't tell you enough like how much of a game changer that is, because ultimately like there's only so much you can handle. And by the way, the reason I train at home is I just couldn't handle the gym anymore, though I handled it for as long as I needed to. And then when I finally could afford to get enough equipment or have the right space, whatever else, like I got the fuck out of there. I'll never go back to a fucking gym again unless they pay me to come. I'll never go back to a gym and work out. It makes no sense. the opportunity costs involved, the time, the travel, the gas. And then it's never just getting there. Like, you get there and then someone takes the fucking one area you needed to do your workout. And you got to wait for that. I could go on and on and on. In fact, I did a full podcast on this, episode 55, How to Build Your Own Home Gym. Check it out. It's all about setting up a 3 to 5 year plan for complete training autonomy on your own fucking turf and terms. Making your own garden of gains or garage of gains. And I've seen others, you know, Deck of Delts. I've seen other really cool themes people have made. There's some really cool garage gym accounts that I follow on Instagram. Garage Gym Reviews, Garage Gym Lab. And I just see like people just like finally like saying, you know what? Fuck this. I'm going to invest in myself. Because if you believe in yourself, it's always the best investment, self-investment. And I'm just going to fucking convert this garage into the baddest fucking gym in the neighborhood. And I'm going to be that dude who's fucking jamming out to fucking 90s hip-hop and R&B. I got fucking the PCH right there, the fucking Pacific Ocean, just sending me its fucking breeze. But my first home gym was this kind of converted den. It was a dog den in our Milwaukee condo, and I didn't have a lot of space. But I got my dumbbells, a sandbag, you know, a couple kettlebells, some bands. I put a mat down. That was it. And I had a bench. And that's how it started. And by the way, the gym I have now, it's going to be a fucking joke compared to what I build 3 to 5 years from now when I get my dream home. I'm thinking like there's going to be a underground pool. There's going to be a shallow end for more dynamic drills, like, you know, where it's only up to about your waist or chest level. So you can do a lot of cool water training. There'll be a deep end too. I mean, there's going to be indoor, outdoor. Like, I have a vision for this. It's going to be fucking amazing. But what I've got right now is what I'm working with. And at least it's at my fucking house. All right. And what a game changer that is. Because you don't have time for the fitness plebeians. You're a sophisticated meathead. You do things on your terms. You use the best methods and approaches available to you today. And you'll be willing to change and evolve with that over time as we learn more about the space, as you get learn more about your body, as your goals change and evolve, whatever. And you don't give a fuck what anybody else thinks because, frankly, dude, they're going to be fucking so jealous of you 20 years from now when they have fucking joint replacements, when they're fat because they can't train anymore because they destroyed their body and they never really learned. And, you know, I could go on and on and on. But, like, if you're playing this for the long game, that's really like, that's the vision of yourself. It's the vision of what your home gym is going to look like. 1.0, 2.0, 3.0, 4.0. The vision of who you are going to be as a business person or as an employee or whatever it is that you do in your life, your job. There's a 1.0, a 2.0, a 3.0. If you're not constantly evolving and getting better, it's no life to live. All right. And in order to stay ahead of the curve, you've got to be willing to break with tradition when others will not. And the early adopters are the ones that see the most fruit from their labor. So I hope this helped, man. I know what you're dealing with. A lot of people listening are, by the way, if anything I said today resonated, send me a voice message, share your particular situation. I'd love to get in on the episode, man. I'm not bullshitting you when I say that. I'm getting all your messages, by the way. I'll get to them as soon as I can. Sometimes they take a little more prep to deliver. So just know that I'm getting them if you send them. And I do really want to make this show all about you guys. And I want to get your voice on. We have so many diverse voices, all walks of life, all races, all sexual orientations, all classes, whatever. Like, it means a lot to me, man. We're building quite a community here, and I want to make it about you. So I want to get your voice on these fucking episodes. Get on Anchor because, again, like I said, the top 100 workout songs. I'm going to have a playlist for you, and you're going to be able to hear some of the songs on the actual episode coming this week. So get on Anchor, send me your voice messages. And as always, a 5-star rating review is much appreciated. I get people who ask, sometimes people that I do a podcast for, like, someone's going to send you $50. I'm like, man, that's like amazingly generous of you to offer, and I appreciate that. Like, get a Patreon account so I can just send you money. It's like, no, like, honestly, if you could just start by giving me a 5-star rating review in iTunes, that's all I ask for. Like, if you're listening to this regularly, we've got about, I think, at the time of this, like 350-something reviews. But we have, you know, at the time of recording this, you know, most episodes getting 3,000 to 5,000 plus listens. So you can do the math. Like, I'd like to get some more fucking reviews. It's really all I ask. If you're listening to this podcast, you never have to spend any fucking money with me. And especially don't get something that, like, I only want you to buy something from me if you're going to use it and find value in it. So just like the couple seconds it takes to just press 5-star in iTunes, just to scroll down and press 5 stars was like, it's like, it'll give me an orgasm. And then if you take 30 seconds to give a 5-star rating and review, that's even better. So if you're looking to help me or give back, keep your money, take the review. And if I offer something that is of value to you, like we got some killer fucking clothes coming, launching, actually we're doing a launch of the Heathered gray and black 3/4 functional trainer short and muscle tee next week. At the time of listening to this, you'll see that at sleepsoulseparately.com. This shit is fire. Most comfortable shit I've ever worn. I've been wearing it nonstop. I mean, athleisure, meaning you can train in it, you can go out in it. It just, I can't wait till it launches. But if I offer something to you guys that you see a value that you'll use, then I want you to get it. But, you know, if you're worried about like, oh, I feel like I'm taking all this value and not giving back, like, I'm cool with a 5-star rating review. That's what I'm trying to say. Hope this helped, Brandon. Love you guys. Don't fucking worry about anybody else except yourself, especially when it comes to the fucking gym. And I think you'll find that you'll get a lot more enjoyment out of your training and you'll end up doing the shit you're supposed to do that's the best available to you today and get the best results. What the fuck else do you want? And hopefully, I didn't go too far there with the masturbation tips, but I'm telling you, man, the fleshlight's a game changer. All right, love you guys. Peace.